Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome everyone to the Wellness Ultimatum Radio. My name is Omar Cumberbatch and I'll be your host this evening. And I have an awesome show tonight with Dr. Dawson Church, who's going to show us all about tapping. And tapping is an excellent way to get over particular roadblocks, both mentally and physically. Let me give you a little bit of bio about the doctor. Dr. Dawson Church is an award-winning author whose best-selling book, The Genie in Your Genes, has been hailed by reviewers as a breakthrough in our understanding of the link between emotions and genetics. He founded the National Institute for Integrative Healthcare to study and implement promising evidence-based psychological and medical techniques. His groundbreaking research has been published in prestigious scientific journals. He's also the editor of Energy Psychology, Theory, Research, and Treatment, a peer-reviewed professional journal, and also a blogger for the Huffington Post. He shares how to apply the breakthroughs of energy psychology to health and athletic performance through EFT Universe, which is his website, one of the largest alternative medicine sites on the web. Dr. Dawson, welcome to the show. How are you today?
I am doing great, and it's a pleasure to be here. Thank you.
I appreciate you being here as well. I always give my guests an opportunity to just give a little bit of a background about how they got to this point in their journey. So we're definitely very, very much interested in hearing your story.
Well, I have been interested in alternative health for a long time, since my teenage years. When I was 15, I joined a healing community and learned the basics of energy healing. So it's kind of funny because my wife went to Woodstock and was doing rock and roll and all the 60s kind of things. Well, I was in an ashram learning energy healing. So I have been interested in that for a long time. And I've also really seen some real miracles happen in my life as far as applying these methods goes. So I've seen people who are really sick get better. I was with a friend of mine recently, and he was recounting how one of his clients recently had a pituitary tumor on his pituitary gland in his brain and had this miraculous healing experience, and it was just gone when the surgeons had him scanned a week later. So there are all these stories of miraculous healing, of energy healing, of non-ordinary healing in non-ordinary states of consciousness that I've been aware of for many, many, many years. But I really began to study it intensively after about 2000. I began to conduct scientific research, and I realized that we now have the tools to validate these miraculous healings. 30 years ago, 40 years ago, we didn't have those kinds of tools. Today we have MRIs, we have EEGs, we have salivary gene assays, we have cortisol tests, we can test your neurotransmitters, your stress hormones, and so what these kinds of new research tools allow us to do is to look into the body and seeing what's happening during one of those miraculous healings, and what's happening when we meditate, what's happening when we do yoga, what's happening when we do EFT tapping, what's happening when we do mindfulness or relaxation training. And this kind of research is really amazing, because while drug companies and the whole pharmaceutical kind of medical model looks for drugs and substances that will affect molecules that can nudge the body toward health, what we find when we look at practices like meditation and EFT tapping is that you aren't just affecting one molecule or 10 molecules, you're affecting thousands of molecules. Whole cascades of genes and proteins are turning on in your body. And so what this biological research is now showing is that the effects of these practices, which we used to think were just feel-good practices. You know, we knew if you did meditation, you felt better subjectively afterwards. What we now know is if you do meditation, hundreds of genes in your body are being affected. If you do EFT tapping, that many genes are being affected. Stress hormones are being affected. Your brain state, your whole way your neurological wiring is, and your brain is being affected. So these modern diagnostic tools are allowing us to look into the body and discovering that when you do these kinds of beneficial practices, it's not just one or two things being affected, it's lots. So I become more and more absorbed in this field, And so my book, The Genie in Your Genes, is one of the key books in the field of epigenetics, which is the study of how external influences turn genes on, turn genes off. And so I began to really plot these kinds of links in the system between the mind, the body, spirituality, wellness, and gene expression. And it turns out that when you do those feel-good activities like EFT or like meditation, you don't just feel good subjectively, you feel good biologically and objectively in a whole new way. And I think we're at the start of an exciting new era in psychology and medicine, when many, many diseases that we used to think of as being incurable or at least very hard to deal with, like PTSD, like depression, suddenly we're discovering that these kinds of feel-good techniques produce radical shifts in people's symptoms and also can produce really big shifts in their bodies. So that's why I focus more and more on research. My books are all about that. My websites are all about that. I'm also doing online programs now. I'm really excited that 10 years ago I was having people in seats in an auditorium and we were all doing the work together in person. I still do those live classes nowadays, but I also reach thousands of people, some years hundreds of thousands of people, with big online programs as well. And that is so exciting that our smartphones, that our laptops now give us access to these kinds of tools in an online format. So the trajectory of my work has been learning it, then focusing on books about it, then classes about it, and now finally taking it online in a really big way.
No, yeah, it's really, really, really great stuff. And I definitely was doing a little bit of research about you, and I'm really excited that the audience is going to get a glimpse into your world. And I just wanted to just talk about the epigenetics a little bit more. How does your belief in emotions actually trigger the expression of specific DNA strands? And it's something that I read on your website, and I really, really was interested in trying to get your answer to that.
I was struck by this when I was at an event called an EFT Masters workshop. And I watched EFT Masters, and these are people who know EFT tapping backwards and forwards, they're really good at it, doing their work on stage, and they were getting fantastic results with their clients. But I also watched a group of EFT trainees who were just learning the method. And Omar, they were just beginning to figure it out. And they were doing EFT, but they were doing EFT in a really primitive way. They were missing many of the cues that an experienced practitioner would have noticed. They didn't know most of the techniques. They were doing these really elementary forms of EFT and often doing it wrong. And yet their clients were getting good results as well. And I watched person after person being worked with this wonderful simple tool, and their degree of emotional triggering was going down. Maybe they were describing, say, going broke, losing all their money. Maybe they're describing a divorce. Maybe they're describing a death in the family. And so when they were first talking about this thing, they would be crying, they would be upset, they'd be in anguish, they'd be really emotionally triggered. And then after maybe 5 minutes of EFT, it's astonishing, their number goes way, 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 way down. They drop them like a 10 out of 10 for emotional distress, down to a 0, or 1, or a 2 in just a few minutes. And I would watch this happening. I thought, wow, this is remarkable. So I began to study the psychology of it. I began to actually measure their anxiety, measure their depression, measure the degree of psychological trauma. And through those studies, for example, we did one study with 216 medical workers, doctors, nurses, psychologists, chiropractors, and so on. And we found that in a one-day EFT workshop, their levels of anxiety and depression dropped by an average of 45%. And the results were highly statistically significant, meaning that there's only one possibility in 10,000 the results were due to chance. So highly significant results and big psychological effects. And I then began to ask myself, well, we're seeing this in study after study, all this research about EFT showing it works as well on psychology. What's happening inside the body? What happens when that person who's crying over the death of their husband 10 years ago, now they're calm? What's going on with their stress genes? And what's going on with their stress hormones, hormones like cortisol and adrenaline? And what I then began to look at was their brain waves using EEGs, their stress hormones and their gene expression. And what we're now finding is that this kind of psychological change, psychological improvement, improvement in mental health, is producing massive, pervasive changes in the body, that we're finding that their cortisol and other stress hormones drop dramatically, that their cell repair hormones, their feel-good hormones, like there's one called DHEA, your main cell repair hormone, those go up. We're also finding now at the level of the gene that their genes that code for immunity are being turned on. Their genes that code for inflammation, which is a common factor in most disease, inflammation genes are being turned off. So all kinds of basic changes happening in the molecular switches of the body when you have these kinds of psychological change. And I think that's one of the real breakthroughs that's happening now in medical history.
Wow, that's really, really interesting. Like, I know you mentioned it a bunch of times. I should just jump backwards a little bit and just let you explain what EFT actually is for the audience. I'm actually just making the assumption everybody's heard of it before, and I just wanted to just go over that concept as well for us.
Yes. EFT, or Emotional Freedom Techniques, EFT, is a very simple self-help tool, and what it does is it combines elements of psychotherapy, like exposure therapy, where you think about a problem, but it combines those with acupuncture. And acupuncture has been shown to, in a variety of studies at Harvard Medical School, they've shown that acupuncture just dramatically switches off the whole fear response in the brain. So getting those acupuncture needles put in just basically switches off your brain's whole fear response. And EFT doesn't use needles, it uses just tapping or rubbing on acupuncture points. And as you tap on those points and you think of a problem, and again, that could be the death of a loved one, it could be being bullied as a child, it could be a craving for food, it could be a relationship problem, it could be money stress, any one of those things, think about that event, and then you do the tapping, and when you do the EFT tapping along with thinking about the event, that then produces this big drop in the brain's fear response to where you no longer have that kind of fight or flight response coming in when you think of those bad things that happen in your life. So it's a really valuable technique for reducing stress. And it's also become wildly popular over the last decade. We did a little research study a year and a half ago, and we found that there are something like 9 million searches four terms every month, like EFT tapping, and that the biggest websites, including mine, get about 5 million visitors a month. So EFT is just spreading by word of mouth. There's no pharmaceutical company that's benefiting from it and advertising it. There's no national marketing campaign. It's purely people telling people about EFT. They're trying it out, and they're getting these breakthrough results really, really quickly, whether they just tap along with video. We have like 150 videos on YouTube. People tap along with those videos. Or maybe they'll download my free mini manual. They'll try that. However they try it, they will get really quick results usually. Then they'll go ahead and want to learn more. So it's this grassroots self-help phenomenon that's spread all over the world in the last 10 years.
Okay, so it is I was going to ask you, how old is this technique? Is it, you know, it's just being popularized in the last 10 years, or is it far older than that?
Well, acupuncture itself, we have evidence, and I talk about this in my book, The Genie in Your Genes. I talk about the evidence for the age of acupuncture, and there is evidence showing that acupuncture points have been known by human beings for at least 5,000 years and perhaps much longer. So acupuncture itself goes back a long way. Pressure on the points also goes back a long way. There's an ancient Japanese technique called shiatsu massage, where they tap or they rub the points. The practice of qigong, where the various energy points on the body are tapped or rubbed, that goes back thousands of years. So for thousands of years, people have known about this. But what's new about EFT is that it's been made into a really simple little routine that takes about 1 minute. So it doesn't take a long time. It's easy to memorize, and once you've got it, you've got it. You can just apply it to anything that bothers you in your life. So what's new is that it's being applied to a lot of psychological distress as well as physical problems like pain and cravings, and also that it's just become so widespread in such a simple form. So you don't need to go to a Qigong. I love Qigong. It's a wonderful method, and I do Qigong myself. But you don't have to go to a Qigong class and spend 6 months learning Qigong. You can just download my mini-manual free online, try EFT for yourself in a few minutes, and you'll get right away if it's working for you. So that's really the difference that's happened lately, is that it's been popularized because of all the free resources there are. I don't know how many YouTube videos there are on EFT by various people, but there must be, there must be over 10,000 YouTube videos. Just huge amount of information out there about the method. So the manual is consistent. The manual has been around for 20 years, and my edition of the manual, I wrote the most recent edition, has been out for the last 3 years. And that method is consistent from study to study, from training to training. So that EFT routine is called the basic recipe. It's like baking a cake. Just put these ingredients together, and it'll work. So that recipe has been around in its present form for about 20 years. But it's only really taken off in the last 10 years.
Gotcha. Do you mind going through one set with us to just give us an idea of how this works?
Sure. It's easy to do yourself. And what we can do is maybe I'll have you be my guinea pig, if you don't mind, Omar.
Sure. That's what
okay.
I'm here for.
Okay. So this won't hurt, I promise. In fact, it'll feel really good.
All right. I'm sold.
So what I want everyone to do is, everyone listening, I'd like you to think of something that has happened in your life, an event that's happened in the last 2 weeks that bothered you. And make sure it's a concrete, specific event. So I'm annoyed that my teenage son doesn't pick up his clothes in his room. That's not an event. That's a whole series of experiences over the course of several years. You want to pick one event, like maybe you had a fight with your teenage son last Thursday when he left the sink full of dirty dishes or something like that. So think about something really specific that's an event that had a start, middle, and end, and lasted maybe 5 minutes or less. That annoys you. That you think back on it now and you're still annoyed when you think about that event, or irritated. Maybe you got a parking ticket. Maybe you got a bad review from your supervisor, whatever it might have been. Just think about an event. So do you have one, Omar?
Yes.
Okay. Okay, now you got your event. Now, you don't have to tell me what the event was, but what's useful is if I get a brief name for it. So if the event was a movie, what would the movie's title be?
I guess I got to expand on it a little bit just so the audience knows what I'm talking about. I'm trying to actually lose a little bit of weight, and I checked the scale, and it wasn't working too well. So I'm thinking of the event when I got on the scale, and it wasn't where I wanted it to be. So you can name the movie title for me. I'm bad at these kind of things. Whatever. Weight loss.
The scale. We'll the scale.
The scale.
And what day was it you got on the scale?
Wait, I'm sorry?
Well, what day was it when you got on the scale? What was it, 2 days ago, a week ago?
Oh, it was Monday. Yep, Monday.
Okay, so getting on the scale on Monday. And so just think about that little slice of reality. If there'd been a security camera there in the bathroom or wherever your scale is, and it could have witnessed you getting on the scale, just that one little snapshot of reality. So think about that snapshot of the scale and give me a number for your annoyance from 0 to 10, with 0 being, I'm totally cool with this, and 10 being, oh, no, this is terrible.
Well, you know what, honestly, and I don't like to make it seem so, superficial, because I know that there's other things that have happened, you know, in other people's lives and stuff that are way more dramatic. But in my particular case, it wasn't 8 because of a number of reasons, including the fact that I really was trying to do something and it's not working, and it just frustrated the, you know, daylights out of me. So it's an 8.
It's an 8. Okay, good. And the reason it's an 8 is probably because there's a lot more than just the scale in that moment. It's tied up with many other factors, like other things you've tried to do in your life and that maybe haven't worked. Maybe when you were in second grade, you turn in an assignment to your teacher and you got a bad grade. So the chances are there are hundreds of events in your life. That's why we're trying to narrow it down to just one little moment here. But that eight may represent a whole bunch more stuff in your life. So we'll see how we go with that. And then the third thing is, where in your body do you feel that eight? What is your body location that tells you that you're an eight?
I have to pick a location. I definitely want to say in like my chest area, like, you know, just, I guess my disappoint, if I was disappointed in something, it's around that area, like, you know, around my heart area, you know, just my chest.
Okay. Your chest area. Okay. Good enough. So, you, but everyone on the, working on the call, I want you to write down those three things. I want you to write down what your event was, what your movie title is. I want you to write down what your number is now, thinking back to the event. And I want you to write down your physical location in your body where you feel that number. So everyone should write those numbers down. And the reason for writing the numbers down is often the numbers will fall so fast that our conscious mind is left saying, what? What's going on here? And having those numbers in front of your face really helps you remember how bad it was a few minutes before. So write the numbers down, body location, write down your movie title, and we'll do a little bit of EFT tapping on the scale. So, Omar, tune in to that moment of looking in at the scale, looking at the numbers on the scale. Focus there.
Got it.
Okay. Now, take the fingertips of one of your hands and tap on the side of your other hand on what we call the karate chop point, right between your wrist and your little finger, the base of your little finger and your wrist. Tap on that karate chop point with your other hand.
Mm-hmm.
Think about that scale, number on the scale, that moment of standing there looking at the scale. And then say out loud,
mm-hmm.
even though I'm looking at the scale,
even though I'm looking at the scale,
and I don't like what I'm seeing,
and I don't like what I'm seeing,
I accept myself fully and completely.
I accept myself fully and completely.
Just the way I am.
Just the way I am.
Even though I'm looking at the scale.
I'm looking at the scale.
And the numbers aren't what I want.
And the numbers are not what I want.
I accept myself fully and completely.
I accept myself fully and completely.
Okay, now take two fingers and tap right where one of your eyebrows meets the bridge of your nose. Either side is fine.
Mm-hmm.
And say out loud, the number on the scale.
I don't want to reveal it.
No, don't say it out loud. Just say those words, the number on the scale.
The number on the scale.
Yeah, you see, the beauty of EFT is I don't need to know, and no one needs to know what you're working on. All we need is some little clue. So we work with people
gotcha.
Who, you know, it's not their weight. I mean, we work with people who have had terrible things happen to them or done terrible things to other people, and they never disclose them. We just work with them, giving us a movie title. So just the number on the scale. Say out loud, the number on the scale.
The number on the scale.
Okay, now tap on the side of your eye. Say again the number on the scale.
The number on the scale.
Tap under your eye, under the pupil of your eye, on the bony ridge of your skull there. This number on this scale.
This number on this scale.
It is not where I want it to be.
It is not where I want it to be.
Tap under your nose. This number on this scale.
This number on this scale
should be different.
Should be different.
Tap on your chin under your lower lip. This number on the scale
this number on the scale.
Should be different.
Should be different.
I should be different.
I should be different.
Now tap on your collarbone where it meets your breastbone. And even though the number is not what I want it to be,
and even though the number is not where I want it to be,
now tap under your arm about 4 inches below your armpit, so about 4 inches below, just tap with your open hand. I fully and completely accept myself.
I fully and completely accept myself.
Back to your karate chop point, tap there.
Mm-hmm.
I accept myself at this weight.
I accept myself at this weight.
I accept myself weighing more.
I accept myself weighing more.
And I accept myself weighing less.
And I accept myself weighing less.
What really counts is me accepting myself.
What really counts is accepting myself.
My weight's important.
My weight's important.
But my accepting myself is extremely important.
But my accepting myself is extremely important.
So I accept myself at this weight or any weight.
So I accept myself at this weight and any weight.
I am still the same wonderful person at this weight or any weight.
I'm still the same wonderful person at this weight or any weight.
My weight might go up and I will still be a wonderful person.
My weight might go up and I'll still be a wonderful person.
My weight may go down and I'll still be a wonderful person.
My weight might go down and I'll still be a wonderful person.
And whether or not my weight goes up or down,
and whether or not my weight goes up or down,
I fully and completely accept myself.
I fully and completely accept myself.
Okay, take a deep breath. Good. Now tune back in time, Omar, to that moment in time when you looked at that number on the scale and saw it, and see what your number is in that same area of your body now when you think back to that moment, 0 through 10.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it definitely went down.
Okay. How far? Went from an 8 to a what?
I'm thinking like a 4.
4,
I'm
okay, yeah.
A 4.
And that's what EFT does. EFT just, as you tap, you can do EFT a few more times. And as you tap, your number usually just drops bit by bit by bit by bit. Now, the chances are you have a whole bunch of other things going on besides that moment on the scale. So you may have to do EFT on some other items as well. But that's just a quick glimpse of how you use EFT. And, you know, it works for problems like weight. We've done, I think there have been 5 studies of EFT for weight loss. And in all those studies, people doing the EFT weight loss program actually lost weight. But the wonderful thing about the research showed that they kept on losing weight after they finished their EFT program. So they're doing the EFT program, like we have one called Skinny Jeans. And they did Skinny Jeans, one of the other programs. They did the program, but one researcher did a randomized controlled trial of people who went through an EFT program for weight loss, and as you track them for a year after they finished the program, and the big difference was that they did not regain the weight. In fact, in the following year, they lost an additional 11.1 pounds. So once they learned to control emotional eating with EFT, their weight just kept on dropping slowly and naturally about a pound a month after that. And that's the great thing. It's, you know, you just give up the struggle. You don't say, I'll love myself after I lose the weight. I'll be a good person. I'll be fine after I lose the weight. You say, you know, I'm a good person right now. And I'm doing my best. Everyone is doing their best. And I love myself. I accept myself just the way I am. When I was first trying to lose weight, I was really overweight for decades. And it was also really embarrassing for me because I was a lecturer at medical conferences and psychology conferences. And so here I'd stand up to give a keynote speech, and here I am, this big guy, you know. And so I was embarrassed, and it just wasn't working. And after many, many years, I learned to keep my weight stable because I'd taken all kinds of diet classes and programs, and I'd always lost weight, but it always came back again afterwards. Like in a year or two, I'd be heavier than I was before. So after I learned to control my weight, I then was speaking at this psychology conference in 2009, and I asked the organizers if I could, next year when I came back to give the keynote speech again, if I could also teach a one-day weight loss class. And so I knew then when they said yes that I had 1 year, and so I said, okay, I'm going to lose 40 pounds in the next 6 months. I'm going to keep it off for 6 months, and then I'm going to come back and teach my weight loss class. And this is exactly what I did. I lost that 40 pounds, kept it off for 6 months, and then I taught a weight loss, one-day weight loss class there, eventually did the Skinny Jeans online version of the weight loss class, and then my weight as well. I'm now about 10 pounds less than that 5 years later. And the research shows that if you can keep the weight off for 2 years after you lose weight, you're highly unlikely to gain it back again. So the crucial thing is it needs to come off, but you have to be able to maintain at that lower level. If you bounce up and down into yo-yo diets, it's all that effort is wasted because you just gain it all back again. But if you can drop the weight and keep it off permanently, then you stabilize at a healthy new weight, and then you're in much better shape than those diets that take you up and then down and then up and then down again. So that's the way to do it.
Really, really. So why is the concept of like accepting oneself so important to in tapping?
Because positive thinking, and I'm not condemning or knocking positive thinking over here. I love Dale Carnegie's book. I read it when I was a teenager, The Power of Positive Thinking. There's a lot to be said for it. But in our society, we tend to use positive thinking as an antidote to our suffering. So somebody has a bad thing happen to them. Maybe they can't pay their mortgage, their house gets repossessed, or they're underwater. Maybe they are overweight. Maybe they're eating because they have cravings. They can't deal with their sugar cravings. All kinds of problems. And what we do is we then try and think positive. But thinking positive doesn't work if we don't really release the negative emotions, just sort of putting a Band-Aid over the negative emotions and trying to think positive about them doesn't work long term, because all that negative emotion is still there. It's just masked by the positive thinking. With EFT, we don't do that. So when people show up in one of my live workshops, for example, Omar, they, like, you know, I have people come to a live workshop and they have a lot of grief maybe about losing a relationship. And so we ask them about losing a relationship, but it turns out that they have all this, maybe they were 10 out of 10 for losing their relationship. And then we dig into it and we discover that when they were 3 years old, that their pet hamster died. And their dad said, you know, be a big boy, don't cry, I'll buy you another hamster. And then when they were six, their grandmother died. When they were seven, their best friend moved away to a different city with their parents, with their family, and they lost their best friend. And mom said, oh, you know, big boys don't cry, you'll make new friends. And so we're told not to cry, not to feel our feelings. We get invalidated when we're children over and over and over again for being emotional animals. And we are. We are emotional. And so when they show up now, they're 50 years old, and they're showing in one of my live workshops, they've got this huge backlog of all of these unresolved griefs and losses in their life. And then the boyfriend or the girlfriend leaves them, and they're emotionally devastated. And what was really happening there is it's not the girlfriend or the boyfriend today when they're 40 years old. It's the hamster when they were three, and it's the best friend when they were seven. So we have this huge backlog of unresolved grief, most of us. And so EFT doesn't say think positively and make it go away. EFT says here's a place of love and self-acceptance where you can really actually feel those feelings for the very first time in your life. So sit here. I mean, I was teaching a live workshop last weekend, and this woman just began to cry uncontrollably, and I sat there and let her cry. I didn't try and stop her or make her feel better, because that's what dad and mom and society and our coach has been doing for the last 40 years. Instead, I let her just feel those feelings. But when you feel those feelings and you tap, then you have catharsis. You're discharging all that stuck old emotional energy from your body. And when you let it flow, when you let it go out, then it all starts to shift. And when that whole well that whole pool of grief and loss is finally tapped away and allowed to shift, that energy is allowed to flow and move, then a miraculous thing happens. Suddenly the person starts to say, I can see the light at the end of the tunnel. I now feel I'm going to be able to get over this. I now feel I can get through this. So we focus with EFT on the negative, the negative, the negative, the negative, the negative event, this other negative event, other negative events like that negative event, negative, negative, negative. And eventually when the client's really then drained their whole swamp of grief, they then say to us, okay, now I'm ready to be positive. So the client tells you, the therapist or the coach, that they're ready to go positive. You don't tell them. And with EFT, we give them the safe space to work through and discharge all of that old anger, turmoil, shame, guilt, grief. And then when they finally drain the swamp, they then just have this beautiful, lush field in which all those green new shoots of possibility can grow.
That's really interesting. So as far as in your experience, what do you think are the main traits or behaviors or like traumas that people aren't addressing that are most common in your practice?
All of us have losses, and very few of us had parents or families that showed us how to deal with them. And so people either come to a live workshop or they come to one of our online classes, like our online weight loss class, and they have hurts, losses, disappointments. One woman who was on one of our live calls we have a program called Skinny Jeans, which is a 6-week online program that you can take, and it's the program where we found people lost weight on the program and kept losing weight after that. And we also have coaching calls as part of that program. And one of the women went on one of those coaching calls, said that her name was Lottie, and she said, I worked with her on which food it was she couldn't resist. So maybe she had willpower, she didn't have to eat chocolate or cake, but what was the food that would just get to her every time? She said, cinnamon rolls. And she said, when I go into the mall and I pass Cinnabon, that chain Cinnabon, and I smell the cinnamon and the sugar, and she's like, I have to go in there and get a dozen. And I made us eat them all. And then she feels terrible, of course. Her body feels bad afterwards, but she has a sugar rush. So I said, well, what association do cinnamon rolls have for you? And she said, well, when I was growing up, I had a pretty unloving family. No one gave me that much love, and the one person that really loved me was my great aunt, my great aunt Charlotte. And we used to go over to her house on Sundays often, and when we'd come over, she would always make fresh cinnamon rolls for us, and she loved me so much. And great aunt Charlotte's been dead now for many years, but Lottie still had the association between getting loved and getting cinnamon rolls. So we tapped on that kind of association, and we allowed her to feel love without the cinnamon rolls. She is allowed to let love in without the cinnamon rolls. We broke the association in her brain between the food and the emotion, because she's just projecting that emotion of needing love and being loved onto food. She's taking that love outside of herself, putting it in those cinnamon buns, eating too many of them, and being fat and being unable to break her addiction. So once she'd broken the association between them, her craving for cinnamon rolls on that phone call, right on the call then, dropped from a 10 to a 0. And she said, I realize I can feel all the love I want and fill myself with love. I don't need to fill myself with cinnamon rolls. And so that's just the kind of thing that we find over and over again, is people are hooked. And it's often a lack of love in some way. They didn't get enough attention, didn't get enough praise, didn't get enough love as children. And then occasionally we have people with real trauma. One out of every 5 girls in the U.S. is sexually abused before the age of 12. One out of every 10 boys is sexually abused before the age of 12. And so that's a lot of abuse. And so we have people showing up in our classes and in our online workshops with sexual abuse, often with bullying or physical abuse, not being respected when they were at school. And there's common human archetypal themes. I mean, Sigmund Freud wrote about them. Carl Jung talked about archetypes. We all have these archetypal experiences of grief and loss and tragedy. And we don't get a lot of tools when we're kids to deal with them from our parents, because our parents didn't have any tools to deal with them. So our parents didn't know how to deal with our crying, so they said, I'll buy you another hamster. Our teachers didn't know how to deal with our crying or our upset, so they made us shut up. And so we've been told to shut up our whole lives. And the trouble is, we have all this potential locked inside of us. We are these beings of such enormous creativity and ability, prosperity, imagination, and it all gets shut down in that process. So we wind up being 20 years old or 40 years old, and, you know, 85% of our disk drive in our magnificent potential is just shut by all those messages we got. So I see a lot of my mission, whether it's in the weight loss arena or the personal growth arena, is to unlock that human potential, let people start to live their genius. When you start to unleash who you are and your potential, oh my, the whole world changes. Everything about your life changes. And you start to not believe those lies you were taught as a child about how you had to be seen, not heard, how you had to act small, how you had to not speak your truth to avoid triggering people around you. You start to look at those old messages and say, that's not true. I've been playing small. I've not been being myself now for 10, 20, 30 years. It's time for me to break out. Wayne Dyer says, if you die, if you go to your grave with your music still inside of you, it's a tragedy. And it is. If you go to your grave, with the song you could have written, with the poetry you could have made, with the loving relationship you could have had, with the money you could have used to create change in the world and create prosperity for your family, unearned. If you go to your grave with your health compromised when you could have been healthy, all kinds of ways we can sabotage our potential. And my burning passion is to show people that there are these super simple techniques like EFT that can help you have a better relationship, help you make way more money, help you lose weight, help you boost your physical health and vitality, help you age gracefully. I mean, the whole thing about aging, people stress ages people. Stress wrinkles our skin. Stress and high cortisol cause our bones to become brittle and old, our muscle mass to reduce. And I did a study, for example, I did one clinical trial of EFT and cortisol, and I compared EFT to talk therapy, and people had massive drops in cortisol after a one-hour EFT session. So we know biochemically that all these things are being affected by EFT. And so my dream is that we'll more and more live in a world which people don't accept those old messages of limitation, and instead that they can claim their full potential.
Oh, absolutely. I'm glad that you did mention about, like, shining and really getting, you know, your story out. That's, while I was doing a little bit of research on you and EFT, I came across a story that I thought was really interesting, and I'm sure that you have even a deeper explanation for it. But one of the things in the weight loss arena, or just, you know, money, abundance and all that, that particular concept was that being told as a child, like, you just to be seen and not heard, and you're really suppressing, like, maybe attention, that you, in essence, don't want attention. And losing weight, you might get attention from the opposite sex, where you don't want to be out there and get that type of attention. So your subconscious actually holds on to weight or fat just to preserve your little cocoon that you created around you when you were young. Or, like, you know, you have ideas of money, that having money is a bad thing and you shouldn't have it in excess. So you do self-sabotaging things so that you don't get the money or the lifestyle that you really deserve. So I don't know if you have any comment on that as well.
And Omar, people function within comfort zones. And so maybe they do have a good idea, or they do work hard, or they do have some kind of upward movement with money, but then they hit the upper limit of their comfort zone and they sabotage themselves. You see people do this with weight loss all the time. They start doing well on a diet, and then they find some way of sabotaging themselves. There's a concept in psychology called secondary gain. And that means when there is an advantage to us of holding on to a problem. And, for example, one woman in one of my workshops said, we were digging for secondary gain and why she never made more than a certain amount of money. And this woman actually would make money, was actually pretty good at making money, but would always find ways of blowing it and self-sabotaging herself. So she never had any savings. She was like 40 years old, and she'd been a pretty high income earner her whole life, but she found all kinds of ways of sabotaging herself and not having having a savings account and not keeping the money. And we looked at that secondary gain. It turned out that her whole family was poor, and the secondary gain for her was that she got to remain part of the tribe by making herself poor. If she was rich, her little inner voice said, I wouldn't be accepted by my tribe. So I wouldn't be following the rules of my tribe. I'd be disloyal to my tribe if I kept the money. So even though I'm earning like three times as much as anyone else my family is earning, I'll find ways of losing it or spending it so I keep in my comfort zone of my family's reality picture so they will accept me. So this wasn't conscious. I mean, consciously she was wanting to make more money, but subconsciously she had a secondary gain on that as long as she didn't get above a certain income level, she was in her comfort zone and she'd be acceptable to her tribe. So we learned to help her tap and release that kind of self-limiting belief. But people have those comfort zones and those subconscious blocks when it comes to weight loss. There are weight loss reasons why people don't keep the weight off. Sometimes women find that they're getting a lot of unwanted attention from men if they are too skinny, and so they'll gain weight to avoid that problem. There are all kinds of secondary gains people have around money, around health, around weight, around relationships. You know, someone who's not in a relationship, and you say, well, this woman sabotaged her last eight relationships. What's going on there? And then it turns out, oh, well, if I was in a long-term relationship, I would have to change. And I don't want to do that. So by sabotaging the relationships, I get to not change. There are all kinds of reasons why people have. So we, in our online workshops, and our live classes too, we dig deep for secondary gain. What's the upside of having fibromyalgia? One woman had fibromyalgia and talked about secondary gain. It turned out, I said to her, well, when did your fibromyalgia begin? She said, when I was 24 years old. I said, what happened when you were 24 years old? She said, my brother got married. And she said, and I had a lot of conflict with the woman he married, and she and I hate each other. And we live in the same town, and we're always having to see each other at family gatherings. So I said, well, when does your fibromyalgia flare up most? She said, just before a family gathering. So there you have it. She has fibromyalgia. It flares up just before a family gathering, and it's her fibromyalgia is her ticket out to not have to go to the family gatherings. We tapped with her. We did EFT with her. Over the course of a few weeks, her entire set of horribly painful symptoms just went away. So there's been a clinical trial of fibromyalgia that showed the same thing, that it has a lot to do with secondary gain. There are always other kinds of factors present. And if you treat it just as a medical disease with painkillers, and there's no real good treatment, but if you just medicate, you know, drug yourself up, you can't drug away the emotional pain. You have to go in there with EFT and work on that. That's the only way to get free of those kinds of symptoms. So we look for things like that in our life classes, in our online classes. We find there are all kinds of ways people sabotage themselves, and there's usually some payoff for them in doing that, but until you find that payoff, you can't really be effective at eliminating that self-sabotage.
Definitely makes a lot of sense now. Now, how many times do you recommend people do this? You know, they definitely go to, you know, your workshops, et cetera, to try to get the basis and understand it. But, like, is this something that you can do on your own on a regular daily basis, incorporate it into, like, your meditation or yoga practice and stuff like that? Or is this something that is, like, in a schedule where you do it once a week or something like that?
Personally, I do it before my meditation practice in the morning just to release any confused thoughts. I find I wake up and my mind is churning, and so I just do it to release all those thoughts before I meditate. I do it for things like when I go to the gym for weightlifting, I tap to release any kind of obstacle to lifting the goal weight I want to lift that day. Whenever I'm upset or stressed, I do a little bit of tapping to release that stress so it doesn't hang around. And then there are people who do a lot of tapping, especially early on when you learn EFT. There was one guy called Henry Hadley, who's given us permission to use his name, real name, and is on our website. And he had a very serious muscular degenerative disease. So gradually, over the years, he also had a serious injury when he was 12 years old. He shattered several of his vertebrae. And he had something like 36 pins in his spine. So serious early injury, muscular degeneration, and he eventually had to use a walker, and then he had to be in a wheelchair. And his doctors told him he would never be out of a wheelchair again. He'd just keep on getting weaker and weaker as his muscles kept on disintegrating. So he was working with a practitioner, and the practitioner thought, geez, I don't know, EFT, it can't help this guy. So he asked this very question you asked. Henry Hadley said, how often do I have to tap? And the practitioner said, thought, you know, as a hopeless case, so she said to him, just tap 100 times a day. And she just said that jokingly, that he's not like a really brilliant guy. He's a very simple guy. So he took her literally. He began to tap 100 times a day. And gradually he got out of the wheelchair, back onto the walker, got onto the walker, onto an arm cane, got from the arm cane onto a hand cane, threw away the hand cane, and we have a video of him doing jumping jacks, getting off disability, going back to work, and reversing this horrible condition. At one of my live workshops last October, I had a woman who had listened to an interview with me like this a year ago, and she was in major depression. She also had muscular degeneration. She'd had to give up her job 4 years before because she couldn't walk without falling down. She had depression, muscular degeneration, and she heard the interview and she began to believe that maybe she could change. I have a video of her, which I put up on our website last month, of her throwing her cane away and dancing around the room. It's amazing, you know, what people will astonish you by what they can do. People tell me their stories about their limitation, and I hear them, and I listen, and I sympathize with them, and I always hold out the possibility in my mind that they could heal, and sometimes in a dramatic way. So even people sometimes, Omar, sit down and tell me their stories in our live workshops, and I think, I don't know how this person would heal. That's just too big a problem, too difficult. I mean, difficult an issue, and yet they make a fool out of me every time by having these amazing breakthroughs. So how often you tap, I think, depends on your circumstances. But whenever you're stressed is the main thing. Release your stress. Don't stay there stewing in stress. Then your cortisol is rising, your DHEA is dropping, your adrenaline is going up, and you're aging your body. So whenever you feel stressed, start tapping.
Mm. Very interesting, very interesting. So I know we're actually wrapping up as far as time goes, but where do you think this is going to go? What do you think, like, ultimately tapping and this whole concept is going to be in the next 10 years, in your opinion?
I think tapping is going to make its way into primary care. And it already is in some hospitals, it already is in some schools, and I think it's going to get more and more into conventional medicine. For example, you go to your doctor's office with a pain. Sure, you need to get an examination, you need to get proper medical care, you may need drugs or surgery, but why not tap? Research shows that tapping reduces physical pain by an average of 68%, two-thirds reduction in physical pain by tapping. Now, the one-third that remains might be a real medical condition that needs real drugs or surgery or something, but a lot of our pain is compounded by fear, by anxiety, by other psychological issues. So I think that EFT is finding a place in medical care. We also have a large nonprofit called the Veterans Stress Project, and we've offered EFT now to over 10,000 veterans and their family members with PTSD. And our research shows, again, this is 7 randomized controlled trials, that they are able to clear those PTSD symptoms within 6 sessions. So I think that EFT is finding a place in the treatment of PTSD. We've also done research in Rwanda. We've done research in Haiti off the earthquake there. We've done research in other parts of the world where there are traumatized people, and EFT is really, really effective. So I think it's going to find a place in disaster relief. And I think, finally, in psychology, depression and anxiety, I think EFT is gaining a foothold there. And weight loss, of course, is a big one in a literal and a metaphorical sense. And so we have an online program called Skinny Jeans, which you can – and actually, what I'll do today is I'm going to go ahead and – if anyone wants to sign up for that program, it's a six-week online self-paced program. You sign on, and you get audios, videos, all the resources you need to apply EFT to weight loss. And if you, the website for it is skinnyjeansfit.com. That's Skinny Jeans, G-N-E-S, like genetics, skinnyjeansfit.com/go there. And there's also a $100 off coupon on that site, so you can join the program, jump in there, do the six-week program, and get the same results that other people have got. Again, average of 2 pounds a week, and then you keep on losing weight after the program as well as you break that cycle of emotional eating. So I think that for weight loss, we're going to find that EFT really has a place. And already, like in Australia, I have a colleague there, and they're implementing it at several university weight loss center sites. So it's spreading like crazy. I mean, there are millions of people searching for EFT and similar terms every month online. They're finding our site, they're finding our programs, and it's just such a wonderful therapy. It's such an easy therapy to learn that it's going to keep on growing from the grassroots level as well as finding its way into primary care like veterans hospitals and medical systems. So that's where I think the future is, and I think that it'll be a much better future than a past where we don't have effective tools for depression, anxiety, and PTSD. So I think that it's just such a good therapy that it'll just keep on growing the way it has been growing for the last 10 years.
So I definitely realize that, you know, it has a mental health component to it. Now, do you think even with it, your immune system, et cetera, like cancers and other diseases, how would that help or aid in making that better?
We've done one pilot study, and we've looked at your level of gene expression. So again, when you get less stressed, you have a good effect on your genes. And we found in that study that after 10 sessions of EFT, we found that people's immune genes were turned on or upregulated, as we say in the jargon of molecular biology. So it dialed up your immune genes. It dialed down your inflammation genes. And inflammation is a common factor in most disease. So EFT was turning down the dial on inflammation genes and was also turning down the dial on a gene that essentially it was helping attack cancer cells. This particular gene, it helps your body locate, target, and remove those cancer cells. And that gene was being positively affected as well. So we have some preliminary evidence now that we know it reduces cortisol, but we're actually seeing now that it literally changes which genes are turned on and off in your body. So you're having that very fundamental change in your body when you learn EFT.
Wow, that's really exciting. Definitely a bright, promising future with this stuff. This is great. I really appreciate that. I just want to give you an opportunity, Doc, to just, you know, tell people how to get in contact with you, anything that you, as far as Twitter, Facebook, anything that you have that you want have to connect with the audience. And I'll just leave you with the floor so you can just share any messages that you want to say as you depart to start tapping away on your own.
Well, thank you, Omar, and thanks for your wonderful sweetheart. And the best way to do that is to download the free EFT mini manual. So it gives you all the instructions. It's about 60 pages long, and you can download that manual for free at the website DawsonGift.com. So it's just my name, DawsonGift, DawsonGift.com. Go to that website, and what you'll get there is the free mini manual. You'll also get a free $100 off coupon for our weight loss program, Skinny Jeans, and you can apply that jump in there, learn it, and start to apply EFT in your own life. And I think what I'd leave you with is the need to take action. I hope I've inspired you to think about your health, your wellness, your longevity in this interview, but more than inspiring you, I want to motivate you to take action. Don't let that extra weight hang around for a long time. Don't let that relationship stress you have be there forever. Don't let that money stress, that money worry, or that job worry be there. Learn these tools so you really have the ability, when that stress arises, to release it. You'll have a much healthier, happy life if you do that. And that's really the key to unlocking your potential. If you're able to release your stress, then that wonderful, prosperous, skinny, loving, abundant, creative, resourceful person you were born to be has a chance to come out. And that's what I so desire for you. I want you to be that person you were born to be. You know deep in your gut you were born to be that person. You know you have that magical hidden potential. The question is, how do you bring it out? And you bring it out when you tap away your stress. Release your stress, and then just like that positive aspect of yourself comes to the surface once you've dealt with the negative aspects, once you've tapped away your stress, then all that magic that you came here to the world to deliver, to live, to express, to enjoy, all that just starts to flow out of you in a strong and positive way. And you will see your money transform, your work transform, your weight transform, your health transform, your spiritual life transform. All of those things can transform once you break that grip that emotional stress has on you. Break that grip of that emotional stress, and suddenly the magic that you came here to be and to do and to share and to experience, you will experience. So that's my wish for everyone listening, is that they feel that love, they feel that passion, they feel that full potential of being who they came here to be. And thank you so much, Omar, for letting me share these resources with your community.
Oh, my pleasure. You've been really inspirational. I just want to thank you and appreciate that you came on the show and shared such wonderful alternatives. You know, anything that we can get to assist in health and wellness that's simple and, you know, free, you know, this is something that is worth a try. Anybody who has any difficulties in any of these areas, definitely try and, you know, see if it works for them. And like you said, there's research to back it. It's something to look forward to doing and actually having a great benefit to them. So I definitely appreciate that as well.
Yeah, and we're all this together. We're all on that journey together. We're all moving toward that goal. And as we move toward that goal as individuals, we have a small but perceptible influence on society. As we become happier and healthier, people around us become happier and healthier. There was a big study done beginning in the 1960s called the Framingham Heart Study. And as part of that study, it was people's happiness levels. They found that as you are happier, you make the people around you happier, and they make the people around them happier. So when you're happier and healthier, you're actually having an effect two layers out. So we're helping change the whole world when we take responsibility for our own well-being, our own joy, and our own potential. So I'm so glad to be in this wonderful adventure with you, Omar. Thank you.
Likewise. Thank you, Doc. Appreciate it. Have a good night.
All the best. Thank you. Bye.
Bye-bye. Great show with Dr. Dawson Church. I definitely hope everyone takes a minute to try this. I've tried it in the past. I tried it today, of course, you know, as the guinea for the doctor, but it really, really is some interesting stuff. One of the things I know that we didn't get to talk about too much on this call, because I just wanted to let him really, really engage the audience and talk about all the information and research that he has and has participated in, but it really brings you to a realization about yourself, which is the most important thing at the end, to realize why you react a certain way and why certain things might not come as easy to you as you expect. And as you're tapping along, you're saying these phrases, you're saying these statements, but you also start to begin to hear yourself thinking and really get a hold of why certain things are the way they are. I guess it's very difficult for me to explain, but you have to try it. You're going to enjoy it. It's something that's definitely worthwhile. The free thing, easy. He provides you with a manual. It's something that you should definitely get. Try it. Let me know how it goes. Facebook, Twitter, you, everybody knows how to reach me. So let me know. I'm curious to hear what everyone has to say. Next week, we welcome in Dr. Robert Newton. Dr. Newton is the author of Pathways to God, Experiencing the Energies of the Living God in Your Everyday Life, and also A Map to Healing and Your Essential Divinity Through Theta Consciousness. He also has written a book called The Hidden Codes of God and the soon-to-be-released Beyond the Mist of Time. Should be another great show. All right, everyone. Thank you so much for listening to the Wellness Ultimatum Radio. Have a good night.